Blog Talk Radio.
And I wanted to share with you a tribute to a great lady who gave her life for her country, not the United States, but her country, which is Mexico. I copied this off of Fox News, which will give you a little background on this lady, and then I rebroadcast it, I resent it to certain people to get their attention. And here's what I put up on the caption. When you read this story, tell the truth. Who killed her? The narco-terrorist armed by Eric Holder, or the Americans who buy to get high? Every time you buy a joint, you kill a Mexican. 70,000 that we know about. This is not a social drug. This is a sociopath's drug. When it goes legal, just like child murder is the law of the land, instead of 1 out of 5 Americans are junkies, it will be 1 out of 3. Rehab will eat up Medicaid and Medicare. This great woman gave her life for poor Mexico, and now I see why Mexicans pour over the border to escape the boiling drug pot. Viva Cristo Rey, Ave Maria. Mexican Mayor Maria Santos Gorostieta, killed by gunmen, was defiant to the end. This lady is very beautiful. She has become the symbol of her country's fight against its ruthless drug cartels. One of the photos published in a local newspaper of the scars she had sustained in 2 assassination attempts on her life before her eventual death last week by the cartels, and she has been labeled a heroine of the 21st century, a symbol of defiance in Mexico's fight against the country's ruthless drug cartels, and possibly bulletproof after surviving 2 assassination attempts. But when Mexican police identified the body of a half-nude, tortured and mutilated woman on a rural road in the state of Michoacán, Maria Santos Garostieta also became another statistic in the country's grisly drug war. The discovery of her body ended the suspicion of what happened to the former mayor of the small town of Tiquichiayo, who stood up to the cartels. On November the 12th, she was dropping her daughter off at school in the state capital of Morelia. Gunmen pulled in front of her car and abducted her as she pleaded for them to leave her child alone. 5 days later, her body was found by farm workers from San Juan Tarameo, Cuitzio, a township, who were headed for work. Despite my own safety and that of my family, What occupies my mind is the responsibility towards my people. Despite my own safety, Maria Santos Garastieta, born in 1976, Santos Garastieta, who held a Ph.D., became the mayor of Tiquicheo in 2008 and almost immediately incurred the wrath of Mexico's organized crime for her outspoken stance against the cartels. You know, the government fights the cartels and the cartels fight the government. You know that Eric Holder allowed 2,200 weapons to get into the hands of the narco terrorists. Is Eric Holder sponsoring communist narco terrorists to overthrow the government of Mexico? The state of Michoacán is the home turf of the quasi-religious drug cartel, La Familia Michoacana. Quasi-religious? The state has become a hotbed for operations growing marijuana and poppy for heroin, as well as a major importer of cocaine from South America and chemicals used to make methamphetamines from Asia. Since outgoing President Felipe Calderón declared war on the country's drug cartels in 2006, around 60,000 people have vanished in the ensuing violence. Have you ever seen what they do down there? They have rooms full of arms, rooms full of legs, all been macheted off. Heads are put on the street corners and heavy traffic. These are evil people doing evil things, and they're being paid for by your son and your daughter, and some of my relatives. And they're being paid to kill their own people, because Junior needs to get high tonight. So, let me see where we are. Within a year of... Yeah, they have killed 60,000 people and murdered 20 mayors. Usually they murder bishops on the altar of the churches, though. Despite my own safety and that of my family, what occupies my mind is my responsibility toward my people. The children, the women, the elderly, and the men who break their souls every day without rest to find a piece of bread for their children. Santos Garastieta said, "Who besides taking a strong stance against the drug cartels was also known for her social work among the region's poor?" Woman is a saint. Within a year of taking office, the mayor was ambushed by cartel gunmen and suffered at least 7 gunshot wounds. And if you look at the picture, you can see where all the wounds tore into her beautiful body. And you can also see that she now has a colostomy bag. I wanted to show you my wounded. Only 3 months later, gunmen once again... within a year of taking office, the mayor was ambushed by cartel gunmen and suffered at least 7 gunshot wounds. Despite escaping with her life, her husband and the town's former mayor, Jose Sanchez Chavez, was killed. Only 3 months later, gunmen once again opened fire on Santos and Garastieta as she was traveling in her brother's car. Shortly after, she made headlines across the globe by displaying her wounds in photographs published in Ticheo's municipal newsletter. And that's probably as far as it got. "I wanted to show you my wounded, mutilated body," she wrote, according to the Telegraph newspaper, "because I'm not ashamed of it. It is living testimony that I am a strong and righteous woman, and despite my wounds, I'm still on my feet." There were also purportedly at least 2 other assassination attempts that she never reported. The Mexico City Daily stated once she left office in 2011, her public protection was withdrawn. That never should have happened. That tells me the politicians were all bought up and set her up. And there's nothing more crooked than a politician. She ran for a seat in Mexico's Congress recently where she was defeated, and that means that the constituents were bought off. And Mexican authorities believe that the cartel gunman waited until her security detail was withdrawn to strike. Santos Garastieta is survived by her daughter and two sons. Her husband, who she married 2 years after her first was killed, has now been officially reported as missing. And her death overshadowed the meeting yesterday between U.S. President Barack Obama, who smokes weed, and Mexican President-elect Enrique Peña Nieto, which remains to be seen how he will perform. But I gotta tell you, he's probably in fear of his life, too. The new Mexican president has vowed that his top security priority will not be arresting the leaders of the organizations that move hundreds of millions of dollars of narcotics each year into the United States. Instead, he and his advisors will focus on the government's resources on reducing homicide, kidnapping, and extortion. So he's already made a deal. The crimes that do most damage to the greatest number of Mexicans by flooding police and troops into towns and cities with the highest rates of violent crime. And here's what they say. Her footprint shall be remembered, wrote Rox Exum, a columnist for the Chattanooga newspaper. The two presidents should assure that Dr. Maria Garastieta, in her defiant quest for freedom, did not die in vain. Why isn't she on Time's a cover instead of Jay-Z or John the Monkey? God bless you, sweet lady. God bless your orphaned children. May God protect the remainder of your family. And one day, may you all meet together on God's turf, protected by the great protector, who none can harm. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party. And the Spirit of America Party radio show. And the Spirit of America Party book. Hang in there, we give you opening tune. I be right back. I go to buy woman. You think if you were American and you die for your country, and you've put up a hell of a fight, you're waiting on relief and no relief comes and you die for your country. You think maybe the lousy stinking press could mention your name instead of saying the ambassador and three others? What name is three others? The ambassador's name they give, but they never mention the three who died trying to save him. The media sucks. They're communists. If I hear one more time a communist broadcaster saying, the ambassador Chris Stevens and three other Americans, I'm going to beat up my TV. Here are the names of all four who died. Stand by, because I've got 30 more to give you. Chris Stevens was the ambassador. Sean Woods was the computer expert whose body was recovered. They still haven't told the story of Stevens, how he got from the embassy or the consulate to a hospital. And was he alive when he entered the hospital? Tyrone Woods and Glenn Doherty were the two ex-Navy SEALs that held out for 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, waiting for Obama to make a decision. Obama killed them. As sure as God made little a green a communists, Obama killed them. He signed their death warrants. He hung up on their 911 call. Obama killed them. He's the commander-in-chief, and he should be charged with cowardice in the face of the enemy. Obama has lost 2,000 Americans in Afghanistan in 4 years. Bush lost 461 in 8 years, and they call Bush a dummy. And yet they blame the economy on Bush. Bush inherited 911 from Clinton. Bill Sykes Clinton, the Artful Dodger. And how much is the cost of 911? You got to add that to the trillions in debt. That was an unplanned expense. We also lost the 30 Navy SEALs in a chopper. They tried to classify it as a chopper crash, but it turned out it was a phone-ahead ambush. The Taliban knew the chopper was coming, and they got ready for it, and they took it out. And the two escort gunships that were supposed to strafe the area before the chopper landed were told to stand down. Who told them to stand down? Why is it so hard to find a man of responsibility today? In all walks of life. Why is it that nobody wants to take responsibility for their actions? In all walks of life. Here are the 30 that died. Derek Benson, Jesse Pittman, Steve Mills, Louis Langlais, Nicholas Null, Tom Ratzlaff, Andrew Harville, Patrick Hamburger, Daniel Zerbe, Brian Nichols, Alexander Bennett, John Brown, Brian R. Bill, Kevin A. Houston, John Duangdara, Spencer Duncan, age 21, Navy SEAL, D. Mason, Matthew D. Mason, Jason Workman, John Tummelson, Michael Strange, Aaron Vaughn, Robert Reeves, Jonas B. Kelsall, Craig Vickers, Christopher Campbell, Nicholas Spihar, David Carter, Jared W. Day, John Foss, and Heath Robinson. 30 Americans, and they didn't get a chance to fight for their country. They were killed in a phone-ahead ambush and covered up in the press in less time than it takes you to read the bottom line that they break up with a commercial on your TV. We're losing our country, we're losing the war, and our enemies are getting stronger. Only 9 countries stood by Israel today against the Palestinians. 139 voted to let Palestine take over Israel. They're calling it something else, but that's what it really is. Do you know who the nine countries were that stood with Israel? The U.S., and I'm sure there were regrets on doing it. Canada, Micronesia, Panama, and five other islands out there in the Pacific. So, Israel, you've been given the kiss of death. You're in as much trouble as Nucky Thompson in Boardwalk Empire. We wish you well. That's what they said to Nucky. Hang in there, we'll give you a tune, and then we'll talk about some of the elements of the day. I see Hollywood's role model, Lindsay Lojack, got arrested for a DWI inside a bar. Man, this girl she's the typical Hollywood model. She's a role model for all Hollywood mothers. Yeah, and then you'll read about her in 10 years. They found her in a flop house. That's where after they spend millions on cocaine and heroin, that's where they end up. Nobody ever talks about the drug problem, huh? One out of five Americans is a junkie. One out of four American women kill their kid. How's that? Fantastic. We're a nation that can be proud. We can stand before God and say we did it all. We can find new ways to get high, but we can't find a cure for autism, which wasn't around in my day. I never knew any autistic children in my day. So what happened? What are we taking now that we weren't taking then? What are we breathing now that we weren't breathing then? What are we smoking now that we weren't smoking then? What are we popping now that we weren't popping then? Yeah, maybe they already know the answer, but they're not going to tell you because they want the profits. My question is when Junior comes out of the basement at 26, having exhausted his marijuana supply, is he going to call for the death of anybody over 65 because he can't pay the vigorish? Can we close the EPA and use the money to pay back the Social Security lockbox? When are we going to stop bribing countries to be our friend? You in your personal life, if you have a buddy and he hasn't called you lately, do you call him up and say, hey, you know what? I want you to be my friend. I'm sending you a $500 a week. That's what the Congress is doing with your money. That's what the Senate is doing with your money. They're giving billions to terrorists. They're building mosques in Terrorland. You don't know. You have no idea what's going on. You know why? Because you didn't go to the bank and ask to see the books. You didn't go to Washington and ask to open up the books and ask these questions like, why are we spending $200,000 to create robot squirrels to test them on rattlesnakes to see if the rattlesnake will strike if they don't wiggle their tail? Why are we spending that kind of money? Why are we building tunnels for turtles to get to the beach? We're sick. We're absolutely sick. We're a drug-consumed nation. We don't know what's going on. And we're letting these congressmen, who should only be limited to one term of office, one term per termite, and senator, one term, and president, one term. Nobody's indispensable. The cemetery is full of indispensable people. One term of office, no pension, get your crap, get out. Thank you very much for your service. Even though you dodged the draft, we're going to let you represent us in the Senate. Isn't that great? You didn't have the guts to serve your country in Nam, but now you're a senator. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Who was crazier, the guy who elects the jerk or the jerk? Oh, I need some cheering up. Give me a little Al Jolson. Give me somebody who misses me and I don't have to pay him to be my friend. Thank you.
I've been away from you a long time. I never thought I'd miss you so. Somehow I feel your love is real. Near you I want to be. The birds are singing in a song time. The banjo's running soft and low. I know that you yearn for me too. Swanee, you're calling me. Swanee, how I love you, how I love you, my dear old Swanee. I'd give the world to be among the folks in D-I-X-I, even though my mammy's waiting for me, praying for me down by the Swanee. The folks up north will see me no more when I get to that Swanee shore. I love the old folks at home. The folks in D-I-X-I, even though my mammy's waiting for me, praying for me down by the Swanee. The folks up north will see me no more when I get to that Swanee. So
here's an article that I saved for a rainy day. This one's going to really crack you up. Muslims enrolling at Catholic colleges in growing numbers. Last year, there was a media firestorm about a complaint filed by a George Washington University professor against the Catholic University of America, alleging discrimination of Muslims at the Catholic college. The complaint stated that crosses and other Christian symbols were offensive to Muslims. Well, let him get over it, or else we'll send a crusade against them. No actual Muslim students were involved in a complaint. No. I know, and the New York Times is reporting that Muslims are attending Catholic colleges in growing numbers, specifically because of their religious nature. And ironically, they are sometimes disappointed that some Catholic colleges are not faithful enough. Now, Sandra Fluke is going to be on Time Magazine Man of the Year. And she's not Catholic, but she went and she ruined the reputation of a Catholic college, saying there was no condom dispenser over her headboard. Yeah, now she's a hero of the party of death. So, and isn't it funny? No, it wasn't a Muslim that complained about discrimination. It was an atheist, which is a communist. Atheists and communists are the same thing. They have no God, they have no country. The Times reports that a decade ago, the University of Dayton had just 12 students from predominantly Muslim countries, all of them men. Last year, the report said there were 78 and about one-third were women. And according to the report, this is not an anomaly, but Muslim populations on Catholic campuses are growing. You know what? Maybe they'll bring religion back to the Catholic campuses. Maybe after a couple of jihads and crusades, maybe we'll all get down and come back to God. The Catholic University of America has more than doubled from 56 to 122, says President John Garvey in an article that appeared in the Washington Post last October. Now, here's the kicker. Surprisingly, it is the religious aspect of the college that Muslim students reportedly found most attractive. Well, nuns wear burqas, or they used to, until they geared up. Here, people are more religious, even if they're not Muslim, and I'm confident with that, says Mai Alhamid, a University of Dayton student, told the Times. I am more comfortable talking to a Christian than an atheist. Who wants to talk to atheists? They hate our God and they hate our country. I'm a loyal American. Yeah, can we put it to music? Some students were actually disappointed in the Catholic identity of the colleges they attended. Many Muslim students, particularly women, say they based their college choices partly on the idea that Catholic schools would be less permissive than others in the United States, though the behavior they say they witnessed later can call that into question. They like the prevalence of single-sex floors in dorms and even single-sex dorms at some schools. I thought it would be better for me, more traditional and a little more conservative, said Shamilia Idris, a Pakistani undergraduate in business at Marymount University in Arlington, Virginia, who had first lived in an all-woman dorm. And the Catholic colleges have made accommodations to Muslim students, such as setting aside spaces for them to pray and installing an ablution room for washing of hands and feet. Sadly, our Catholic colleges have become too secular. And secular is a buzzword for Antichrist. So having said that, let me give you a tune. We're going to be talking about Christmas soon because they're trying to... The atheists are trying to get in first and pull the babies out of the mangers. Oh, Jimmy from Brooklyn called me and he told me that Pravda, the communist newspaper, the English version, admits that, confirms that Obama is a communist. And I said, why would they say such a thing like that, Jimmy? Why would they expose him as a communist? And Jimmy says, it's just a finger in the face. They're flipping the bird at America. They're laughing at how stupid we are. Well, we're going to find out. We're all going to learn the hard way. And then I'm going to sell T-shirts. I have to learn everything the hard way. So what else can we talk about? I said I was going to give you a tune. Let me give you a tune, and I'll dig through some paperwork here. Jimmy says there's five stages of communism. Stage one is feudalism. That's what when the peasants revolt. Stage two is the revolt. Stage three is capitalism. Stage four is socialism, and stage five is communism. So, isn't that interesting? You didn't know that capitalism was one of the stages of communism. I guess they got to make the money before they build the army. Oh, by the way, the Chinese now have completed the Russian aircraft carrier they bought with Kmart money. And, well, you're going to like this one. And they've got a picture of it at sea, and it's got and landing on it are American copied of fighter planes. So Obama is pulling out of the Azores. We've been there since World War II, and he's pulling out of the Azores. And the people that live that's off of Portugal, I think. The people that live there. Are shocked that they're going to be losing the income that they made on those Americans that bivouacked there. And so they've made a deal with the Chinese, and the Chinese will now have a base in the Azores. We're something, aren't we? We build these bases, and then our enemies occupy them. The saddest one was the base we built on Staten Island called the Homeport. And the locals on Staten Island, when the news started to break that the U.S. Navy was going to build a base in Stapleton, and they were going to base one ship there, the USS Normandy, a guided missile cruiser, and everybody got excited, and people started to go down into that area, which was a low-income area. And they started to spruce it up, and they started to rent stores, and they started to bring in franchises, and they started to develop it in anticipation of the home port, and the home port came. And the Normandy showed up, and everybody was happy, everybody was making a buck, and all of a sudden, they decided to close the base and move the USS Normandy down to Virginia. And who signed off on it? Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer helped close the base and send the USS Normandy, a guided missile cruiser, on the same basis as the USS Vincennes. Do you know the story of the USS Vincennes? It was in the Mideast. It picked up a plane that had come through a no-fly zone, and they shot it down, believing that the plane was heading from Iran to the aircraft carrier to take it out. You know, like one of those kamikaze deals, you know, the pilot doesn't tell the passengers. Well, they thought it was a military plane. It turned out to be a passenger plane. And as they were high-fiving each other for the success in a missile hit, they looked in the water and they saw babies and they saw suitcases and they saw women, and they got sick. And then, of course, the communist press came right in. They exposed these guys in their moment of weakness and said, look what they did. They murdered these poor, helpless Iranians. Yeah. And you know what? The USS Normandy was sent to Virginia. And guess what happened next? 911. And two planes that were hijacked came into two towers in New York. And we weren't ready. We had no idea something like this could ever take place. We were not prepared. We were blind men looking for the light. And we scrambled two planes and they were unarmed. And they came all the way from Washington, D.C. Yet there were planes in Egg Harbor, New Jersey, that could have went up there, fighter jets. But no, everything had to go up the line. And when it got up the line, it got lost. But the sad part about it was we didn't have a radar radar-guided missiles that could have picked up their second plane. Once we got hit with the first one, everybody knew something was wrong. If the USS Normandy had been in or around the Staten Island, when that second plane came down the Hudson River, then USS Normandy could have stopped it. So, I blame Chuck Schumer for half of 911. And I blame Clinton and his wife for all of 911 because they gave Bin Laden many passes and never took them out. And you know who had to take them out? President Obama. But you know, he took 3 months to make the call. He sat on the intelligence for 3 months before he was forced to give the go-ahead. I say he gave 3 months to Bin Laden to get away. So let me take a break, and when I come back, I'm going to introduce you to the other president of the United States. Okay, we're getting ready to introduce the president of the United States, the other president of the United States. We're going to open up the introduction. The Marine Corps band will play Ruffles and Flourishes. You know how that goes. So stand by. Ladies and gentlemen, the other president of the United States. Here, where's the Marine Corps band? Oh, they go home early. I want Ruffles and Flourishes. Are we doing Ruffles and Flourishes? It's Tiro Puente, Ruffles and Flourishes. Oh, what am I gonna do? Are you gonna dance like everybody else? Okay, guys, carry on. off this program to bring you an important announcement from the other President of the United States. My fellow Americans, it is with a heavy heart today that I bring you bad news. We are broke and we can no longer pay all our bills. So before I announce the agency layoffs, let me turn to our allies, that coalition of the willing. Dear friends, as you know, we have over the years been there for you with aid money. As of today, the foreign aid store is closed. We hope if you can send a little our way, it would be appreciated. Now to the agency closings. Any agency with the word labor in it is closed. Any agency with the word environment in it is closed. Any agency with the word food stamp. Same with the word welfare. Any agency with the word grant in it. Any agency with the word discrimination in it. Any agency with the word education in it. Any agency with the word homeland in it. Any agency with the word human in it. Any agency with the word minority in it. Others will be added later. All lobbies are off limits to Washington, D.C. personnel. We are assigning one dark alley to meet the politician you own, and you can only make a $1 contribution. Now to the House and Senate. This will be your last term in office, and we wish you well. The new term will usher in part-timers who are limited to passing one-page bills, all in caps. To the State Department, all ambassadorships will be filled by wounded war veterans who have more in common with the locals than bribe payers or champagne contributors, as the Democamos call them. To the State Department, goodbye. To OSHA, we appreciate your concern for our safety, but Band-Aids are only 79 cents a box. To the arts, we will take one chorus of stout-hearted men, and the ballet's a grant this year will be used combat boots to do Swamp Lake. And Nancy Pelosi will still be allowed to do her interpretation of the March on Selma. Thank you and good night. Can somebody play me the IRS song? Thank you.
is a drink of gin. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Get out of here and get me some money too. Why don't you do right like some other men do?
You know what's sad about horror and terror? People won't acknowledge it. People look away from it. They don't want to see it. They pretend it's not there. And it's prevalent throughout our society. We really can't. We watch women getting stalked and cut up. But when we see the real statistics of women being stalked and cut up, we don't want to recognize that we got a problem. And speaking of women who got stalked and cut up, I don't know her name. I'm going to do some digging. She was the ex-mayor of a town in Mexico, and she was in the news for one day. And she was dragged from her car by narco-terrorists that were probably armed by Eric Holder. And she was beaten to death in front of her daughter because she was anti-drugs. And, of course, the communists will tell you, see, if it was legal, that wouldn't happen. You have no idea what's going to happen when it goes illegal. You have no idea. Absolutely none whatsoever. Criminals always make money on man's vices. And now they're going to make it legally. And what's really sad is when they start to promote weed throughout the land. I remember when marijuana took over in New York City. I used to hang around at 125th Street, and the only ones that did weed were jazz musicians. And slowly it came uptown. And I remember going to a high school dance, and the guys from downtown went outside the school and took a walk around the block. When they all came back, they were all stoned. But the guys that lived further uptown were not doing weed. And I saw weed creep uptown, 155th Street, 175th Street, 189th Street, the end of Washington Heights, down into Inwood, until it finally took over all of Manhattan. I seen that wave start downtown New York and move all the way uptown. I witnessed the first weed conversion. And I looked at the South and I said, this product will never, no Southerner is going to let his kid get hooked on this crap. There'll be all the pushers will be swinging from the trees. And you know what? I was wrong. I was wrong. Because money is king. And I happened to mention to a 20-year-old girl the other day, I said, what do you think the reason is that we can't beat drugs? And you know what she said? The girl's genius. Just a common observation, she came out with this. It's part of the economy. Isn't that great? It's part of the economy. We've gone from an industrial nation that could build every piece of equipment we needed to win a war to now when you watch Wall Street, they don't give you the drug report to see how much money the drug cartels are making. The government has taken over the mafia. They've taken over the gambling. You just seen this big $587 million jackpot, and the guy that won it is going to walk away with $287, and the government is pocketing the rest. And then the president will come on and say, "Don't bet over your head. Bet with it." Yeah, that's nice. That's like saying, don't put your hand in the cookie jar because there's cookies in there. Yeah, we're in trouble. We're in big trouble. And then there's prostitution in the House and the Senate. Everybody's for sale. Everybody's for sale. They're all being bought and paid off.
Well, we don't call it being paid off. We call it champagne contributions. And I don't owe my job to anybody. Who's on the phone? How much did he donate? Oh, hang up. Hang up that phone. Yeah, it's a constituent. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What do you give me, $20? You think I'm going to waste my time? Who's on the phone? Oh, Steve Jobs. Hello, Steve. How are you? Oh, you want to hire 80,000 people in the workforce? Oh, that's great. Where are they going to be working? China. Oh, that's great, Steve. Oh, you don't want to bring the money back to be taxed? Oh, I could understand. That's no problem. Champagne contribution? Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, Steve. Yeah, anything I can do for you, you let me know. Plans for F-16s? Yeah, the Defense Department is not my game, Steve. I'm more into cattle rustling. Yeah, we're in trouble, man. We're in absolute trouble. You want to know how far we have declined as a nation? If Moses came down from the mountain, and it was Mount Katahdin in Maine, and he looked over the country, he would cast us out and send us all to Hollywood. Yeah, the home of the golden calf people. They melted it down and made Oscars with it. This is Campus Notes from the Cardinal Newman Society, the scary hookup culture at Catholic colleges. And don't forget, you're now covered under the health care plan for your IEDs. Or is it IUDs? Yeah, which one doesn't blow up? Yeah, we're in trouble. And Jason King, chair of theology department at St. Vincent's College in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. My wife can remember when girls were not allowed to wear makeup in Catholic school, in Catholic high school. Yeah, in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, is concerned about the rampant hookup culture on Catholic campuses all over the country. It is depressing. Stalin's dream come true. The three ingredients that made America strong are all gone. Patriotism, spirituality, and morality. You know how many people call the Star Spangled Banner the baseball song? Did you ever watch the football players when they play the Star Spangled Banner to see the disinterest in some of them? King wrote a piece this week at the blog Catholic Moral Theology. And here's what it says. Hookup culture is in an environment that forms people through pretend and coercion into the belief that every college student is having sex and none of them want a meaningful relationship. It is a culture to pretend because college students overestimate the number of their peers having sex. It is also a culture of coercion, peer pressure. They're talking about peer pressure in a college. How about peer pressure in the fifth grade? Okay, we'll return to this subject. I'm going to give you a tune. Thank you.
One of the first rock and roll songs. That goes back to probably about 1953. And you hear the guy is pledging his love. And now we come down to fifth grade, a sexual activity. You don't believe that, right? Well, you know what you do? Ask your daughter who's in the fifth grade how much pressure she's under to pay off. Around 20% of dating relationships have non-sexual violence, and 20% of women in college experience completed or attempted rape. You know, the professors changed it to date rape. They watered it down so the police don't have to fill out the long form. 85% of these assailants are known, usually boyfriends, ex-boyfriends, or classmates. Finally, resistance to the narrative often results in a kind of social suicide. None of the three studies on dating practices on Catholic colleges and universities found any difference between them and non-religious institutions. Hooking up is the buzzword. Kathleen Bogle found that students at the Catholic schools responded similarly to the students at the large state school on issues of sex. Moreover, the students at the Catholic school did not see religion having any influence on their behavior. Frieda's survey of Catholic schools revealed that Catholic institutions did not differ from public schools when it came to hookup culture. Those are horrifying statistics, King told the Cardinal Newman Society, but he did warn that these studies have a small sample size, and he pointed out that the schools more robust in their Catholic identity haven't been sampled in the studies. Fordham University, I used to look up to Fordham University. I have no respect for it today. And I lost respect for it many years ago. I call it the Catholic Columbia. He said he liked to see a study done at colleges such as Franciscan University of Steubenville, Christendom University, and Ave Maria, among other faithful colleges. My suspicion would be they have a different kind of culture. I hope so. But I'll tell you, you know, it's funny. A guy came to see me one day to buy something. He was an Italian from the other side. And his daughter was in high school. And she came home, and he says to her, "Where's your homework?" She says, "Oh, we don't get homework. We do it in school." He says, "Oh." The next day, she was out of that school, and she was in a Catholic school. And she had homework. So King said he was excited to see how the changes implemented by his alma mater, the Catholic University of America, especially with the implementation of single-sex dorms, affects the hookup culture. Binge drinking, rape, and violence all seem correlated to co-ed dorms, he said. We just sent a loved one to a SUNY upstate. He was there 1 week. In the 1 week, 8 guys were taken to the hospital for binge drinking, and one guy was sitting in his room smoking a joint, and he's out of that college now. You don't have to go away to become a junkie. You can do it right in the old neighborhood. He said that no college can erase the culture-wide problem. We can't solve all the problems, he said, but we can create a place where it's easier to be good. In grammar school, in grammar school, in the early second and third and fourth grades, what was the thing the nuns taught you? What is the one Catholic rule to save yourself? Avoid the near occasions of sin. If you're sitting in a room and they're passing a joint around, how many times are you going to say no? If you're sitting in a room and they're passing a girl around, how many times are you going to say no? Sociologist Ann Hendershot made the same points in a shocking summary of research on college students. The sad part is many grandmas and grandpas are footing the bill and helping their children send their children to school. And if they ever knew that this went on, they wouldn't send a dime. What for? So, there is a lot of talk about the hookup culture on Catholic campuses. Imagine paying $40,000 a year to see your daughter down in New Orleans, the business major, hanging her breasts over the balcony, working for beads. Hang in there, we'll give you a tune.
Did dot did it, did dot did it, did it, did dot did it, did dot did it.
Back, Spirit of America Party. This is before we got stomped in the election, and somebody had suggested a different offices to fill. And this gentleman, a Tea Party member, suggested for Secretary of State John Bolton, Treasury Ron or Rand Paul, Defense Alan West, and we know we lost Alan West in the last election. Justice, Judge Napolitano. I got a feeling Judge Napolitano is a little too liberal for my liking. Interior, Portman, reduced the staff by 75 to 80%. agriculture, reduce the staff by 75% to 80%, and delegate to states and move under interior. Commerce Department, reduce the staff, same percentage, move to interior. Labor Department, reduce the staff, same percentage, and move under interior. Health and Human Resources, reduce the staff, 75% to 80%, delegate to states and move under interior. My concern with delegating things to the states is you're going to change the robbers from Washington, D.C. To your local state. You really got to have less people handling less money if you want to keep everybody honest. Transportation, reduce the staff by 80% and move under interior. Energy, Sarah Palin. Let me tell you, Sarah Palin did a good job in Alaska, and she got her people some pretty good deals. And she stood up against the big boys who owned Alaska, the oil companies who owned Alaska. And she's the only governor I know that put the governor's jet on eBay and sold it. So whether she did it for show to claim a greater glory, I don't know, but I got to tell you, I think she did some good common sense things, and how the left hated her, the communists hated her. Imagine sending 60 lawyers to Wasilla to go through her garbage and to find somebody that hates her. Who could stand that kind of scrutiny? Education, reduce the staff by 75% to 80% and delegate to states and move under interior. The Veterans Administration, George or Laura Bush. That would be a good one. That would be a good one. HLS, I don't know what HLS is. Reduce the staff and move under interior. So that's one guy's, what he would do. I guess you could say not bad. Let's see what else we got here. Hang in there one second. Okay, I got one for you. With the assault on Christmas, which started, in my mind, about 10 years ago, but when I went to grammar school, the nuns were upset about it then, and idol worship. We all had our idols. But with the atheists having the crosses removed, and their dream is to have them taken out of all the cemeteries under the separation of church and snake rule, and they're the snake, I thought I'd give you this Thanksgiving proclamation from 1789, and here's what it says. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer. Is that what I saw in the mall? Did I see Thanksgiving and prayer? As that guy beat up the other guy? To be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Is that what we have today, a government for our safety and happiness? Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will ever be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors for which he has been pleased to confer upon us. How many times has he mentioned God there? And also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, his confession, to enable us all, whether in the public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness to us, and to bless them with good governments, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best, given under my hand at the city of New York, God help us, Lord, the 3rd day of October in the year of our Lord, 1789, signed George Washington. And God gave him a present on his birthday, God's birthday. On Christmas Day, George, after having 7 losses in battle, finally won one when he crossed the Delaware, and then followed up with another victory in Princeton. And he only had 2,000 men left, and I think 1,500 were going home after the battle. And they all stayed and re-enlisted, and the army grew. And it grew to the point that we won World War II. In 4 years, we kicked the crap out of 2 big enemies on 4 different continents. And as a result of the efforts of the greatest generation, we have been allowed to live in peace and tranquility, with the exception of the wars that the Democrats get you into for 70 years. God bless America. Bartender, champagne.
Yeah.
Here's a Tea Party pitch. The only reason that the Re-Puppy Party survives is due to the Tea Party. Now that band of mothers and brothers must become like early Christians as Nero fiddles. If you're a God-fearing, hard-working man, woman, of any color, you belong with us. If you do not want to see your children popping pills, being fed communist lies in schools, and retrained sexually, you belong with us. If you believe the commandment that says, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods," and you want to see a smaller tax leeching a government, then you belong with us. If you respect the American flag, the American child, and Americans for America, then you are better than 48 senators and 125 Viet Congressmice who sell us out daily and steal our wages while feathering a communist nest of evil vipers. If you feel the education system is responsible for the takedown of America, you belong with us. If you cannot believe the lies fed every day by the communist media, then you belong with us. If you love this country and would die to keep it from being overrun by the UN Communist Party, you must join with us to protect our sovereignty. If you detest those who divide us into splinter groups and play one against the other using labels and lies, then you must join with us before all is lost to the Marxists. Whether you came by trains, planes, or in chains, all who fight as one are Americans. One nation under God, pro-life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. More tea, anybody? Okay, we're closing our show. If we have any time left over, we'll do it in music. I've got one tune on the way out. It's dedicated to all the guys who served, all the guys who served, all the guys who are rotting in prisons because they were betrayed by their country while they tried to serve it. I'm talking about the GIs that went to jail on trumped-up charges. And some night I'll do a list of them, who they are. And they're rotting away, and their only crime was they loved their country too much. I'm not talking about the guy that walked into the village in Afghanistan and killed 17 innocent people. I'm talking about a guy who was part of a sniper team who was ordered by his commanding officer to shoot a guy in the head who had stumbled on their concealed position while his commanding officer held him down. He was one of three, and he followed the orders of his commanding officer, and he was charged along with the other two by the Iraqis of non-premeditated murder. And the two Americans, the commanding officer and one other, were tried in the States, and they abandoned this poor bastard to be tried in Iraq, in an Iraqi court. That's the first time I've ever heard of such a thing. Then they sent him back to the States after he was sentenced, I think either to 10 years in prison or 15 years in prison. And he's got kids that hardly know him. He was a young guy when he went to serve, and he's getting older every day in jail. And President Bush walked out on a lot of guys, too, that were rotting in jail. So it's not only Obama who abandons troops in the field. They're all guilty of it because one American doesn't count anymore. And the magic number is a million. Before this country wakes up, a million Americans will have to die. They'll get stirred at 100,000. And that's what Obama came for on 9/11. He came for 100,000. I mean, Osama. Came for 100,000. And you better say a little prayer for the guys that are left in Afghanistan that have to do to run out. And say a little prayer for the 10,000 that are going to be left behind as a token force. Because their lot is not going to be a great one. The only good sign that I have managed to see is somebody commented that the Afghanis want to die in bed as old men. But when the Al-Qaeda come, they came to die. So you know, you got to kill the Al-Qaeda. You got to kill the Al-Qaeda dead. And of course, never compromise your position. If you're in doubt, take them out. God bless you, and God keep you, because this country doesn't appreciate you. they don't even know who you are. They announced the Benghazi 4 as the ambassador and three others. They don't even have respect for the names who gave their lives for this country. But they're all watching The View tomorrow. I call it the puke. I had to sit in a dermatologist's office for an hour and a half watching Whoopi Goldberg take a big crap on the country, along with No Joy Behar. I'm being brainwashed beyond my control. Oh, for the old days when everybody carried a six gun and shot that television right out. God bless you guys. December 1st, and we now kick off the birthday of Baby Jesus. This is Baby Jesus Month, and I'd like to wish everybody out there a Merry Christmas and Happy Holy Days. So we're going to kick off our Christmas crusade.
Jerusalem. Jerusalem.